roll call, please.
Governor Bruce Rauner, Secretary Randall Blankenhorn, Director Bates.
Here.
Director Dobson. Director Gomez.
Here.
Director Gonzalez. Director Johnson.
Here.
Director Sauer.
Here.
Chairman Chillerstrup.
Here.
Director Sweeney.
Here.
Chairman, we have a quorum.
Very good. We will proceed to our public comment. This is a time during our meeting when we have the opportunity to hear from members of the public. We do have cards here for anyone who would like to sign up. We have one person who has signed up to speak today. We would ask you to keep your comments concise, as we have a busy agenda this morning, but we are interested in hearing from the public. So our first speaker, and at this point our only speaker, but if there are others, when he gets done, if you want to just raise your hand, we'll get you up there. We want to hear from what you have to say. Our first speaker is Mr. Rafael Herrera. He is with Descoda, and he would like to thank the Tollway for its promotion of the its diversity program. Mr. Herrera. Morning. Step up there.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to start my statement by congratulating the new board members. I wish you guys the best in your new endeavor. My name is Rafael Herrera. I'm with Descoda Incorporated. We are a second-generation family-owned business providing construction management services, engineering services, and architecture services. We have been providing services to the tollway for several years now as a sub-consultant. And on today's agenda, we are on the agenda today to be selected for our first ever award as a prime consultant with the tollway. We have been the benefactor of the Mentor Protégé program for design services, construction management services, as well as CCM services. To complete the full mentor protege cycle, we've decided to become a mentor ourselves to a small MEP firm who has not performed any work with the tollway in the past. I just wanted to take a minute to thank the tollway for its continued support and promotion of the diversity program. We are just one example of its success. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Herrera. Is there anybody else who would like to address the board this morning? All righty. Well, thank you, Mr. Herrera, and that will bring our public comment to a close. We will proceed to the chair's part of the agenda, and I would like to start out by telling you how honored I am to have this position. I look forward to working with all of the directors, both the ones that have been here for a while and the new ones. I think Tollway is a great organization. You've done a great job in the past. I want to thank Christy for her leadership, Paula Wolf for her leadership, and the directors that have been here in the past, and all of the rest of the staff. For my short time here, it certainly appears that we are blessed with a great team, and I am excited about the opportunity to be part of that team. I think there are great things for us in the future working together. We will continue to, I think, do great things. So I look forward to doing this for a while. So we will now move on to our approval of the minutes of the regular board meeting and an executive session meeting.
They're taken together, right?
Yes. Okay.
As long as
so,
there's not a change.
All righty. So then our motion will be on both minutes, the regular board meeting and the executive session for May 25th. Everybody should have had a copy of those and had the opportunity to review them. And I would entertain a motion at this point.
Motion to approve.
I'm
yes.
sorry. Could I make a note? I believe that the meeting date was May 28th. I believe that's a typo here.
Okay.
That's a typo in the agenda.
Very good. Then yeah. May 28th meeting.
Motion
to
approve.
Second. Is there any discussion, alterations, corrections, or changes? Hearing nothing, may we have a roll call on the approval of the minutes, or do we do that just, can we?
Generally, we don't, but we can if we would like.
We don't want one if we don't have to.
I'm still trying to figure out the procedure, so you'll have to struggle with me a little bit. All those in favor of approving the minutes as presented, please state aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. We will now proceed to a review and approval of past executive session minutes for public release. And I do believe that everybody has received a copy of those and had an opportunity to review them. So may we have a motion on that?
Motion.
Is there a second? All right, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion or corrections or changes that wish to be made to those executive session minutes?
To the extent that any discussion needs to be held, you're free to do that in executive session since these are executive session minutes.
Okay. So is there any... Are we ready to vote?
Yes.
Okay. Hearing nothing, all those in favor of approving and releasing those minutes, please state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Those shall be released. The next item is dealing with executive director selection. If there is no objection from the board, I would ask that this be deferred until after our executive session. I believe that as a matter of personnel, it would be appropriate to at least initially discuss that in executive session. I would contemplate that after executive session that we would take action on this. So if there's no objection, I would just defer this to after executive session. Hearing nothing, we will then defer that until after executive session. I have no additional items at this time, so we will proceed to the executive director portion of our meeting, and I will turn it over to Christy.
Great, thank you. So just a couple of quick updates. You know, we received some fantastic news yesterday that I wanted to make the board aware of. The International Bridge Tunnel and Turnpike Association, which is the industry organization for toll roads across the country, has awarded the Illinois Tollway a Toll Excellence Award, which we're very excited about. If someone would have asked me when I was going to college if I would ever be associated with the International Bridge Tunnel and Turnpike Association, I would not have believed that there would be a point in my career where I was, but we've been given this award for our partnership. It's the Civic Award. It's one of the highest awards in our industry, and we've been given this award for our partnership with Lighthouse, the Chicago Lighthouse, on our customer service call center at UIC, which I think we've talked a little bit about, even with the new board members, and certainly the longstanding board members are familiar with it. So we're all very proud of that partnership. It provides opportunities for people with disabilities and veterans to become part of the workforce again and be employed. It's an area of our population that has very high unemployment rates, so we're thrilled with that, and we actually, I think, get very good customer service response as a result. So when anybody calls that 1-800 number, you are likely talking to someone from the Chicago Lighthouse. So it's very exciting. Great job by the tollway staff who took the initiative on that project and made that happen, particularly Shauna Whitehead, Joe Kambich, and Jeff Redding, who helped, his division helped outfit the UIC space. I think most of you know, as far as upcoming events, we have a groundbreaking for a new interchange or additional interchange access at Irene Road tomorrow. I think there are several board members who are planning on attending that. We're very excited about that partnership. That's been a long time coming, too. The persistence of community leadership there cannot be understated in driving toward getting that new access, and of course we value community partnerships. So I know that at least Chairman Schillerstrom and Director Dotson are going to be there. If there are others that have said that they are attending, I apologize for not recognizing you, but please feel free to join if you are available tomorrow afternoon for that. I also wanted to make you aware, we do try to let the board know about items, you know, larger items that might be coming up or items of some significance that might be coming up on future agendas. And this month was one of the wettest Junes and wettest months that we've had in Illinois history, as some parts of our system had, you know, 7 inches of rain, and that is impacting our schedule a little bit on I-90. So it's very possible that at future board meetings you're going to start to see some acceleration payments or other steps taken where the board will have to take some action on, you know, making sure that we stay on schedule with I-90. As you know, schedule is very important to the tollway, to our customers. Construction impacts customers in terms of obviously delays and inconvenience, but also you know, our revenue. So we always want to try to stay on schedule, and of course keep projects on budget means keeping them on schedule. So we value that highly, and this project is supposed to be wrapping up in 2016, but you'll likely see some things coming in the upcoming months on that. You also, another large contract that's coming likely for your consideration is job order contracting. I think we talked briefly about this as well, but it's a facilities program that other government entities and large entities have employed, but the tollway didn't have in place. And what it does is provide a large blanket agreement for any facilities work. What was happening at the tollway is we were having to bid out all of our facilities work, you know, roof repairs, you know, entrance repairs, door replacements, anything that we had to do on an item-by-item basis, and it was very time-consuming, not very efficient. We had to do a lot of emergency repairs because it took a long time. So this should allow us to do a little better job of managing repairs and replacements of our facilities. And I know John Donato and Jeff Redding and his group have been working very hard on this, along with the engineering folks. Also, with procurement taking longer and longer, frankly, it will be a streamlining effect there, too. So you will likely see that coming at a future board meeting. I think it's out now for bid, or will be shortly, so you'll see that coming soon. So now, I'd like to introduce, if it's okay, unless there are any questions on any of those items or discussion, I'd like to introduce our presentation.
Well, maybe before we do that, we do have one additional person who would like to speak to the speak to us from the public, and that's Ms. Barbara Clipp. So if nobody objects to going back in the agenda a little bit and giving Barbara a chance to speak, Barbara, why don't you, go on up there. And Barbara is with the Sierra Club, and she wants to speak on the Route 53 extension.
Thank you for making this exception to allow us to speak. I speak today on behalf of the Sierra Club and our 100,000 members and supporters in the state of Illinois, over 7,000 members and supporters in Lake County. We'd like to welcome the new tollway board members and the executive director of the board. We felt this was as good a time as any to point out that the claim that there is consensus regarding the Route 53 extension amongst environmental organizations in Illinois is patently false. In addition to the Environmental Law and Policy Center and the Center for Neighborhood Technology, who are members of the BRAC and refuse to agree to the BRAC recommendations, other large environmental organizations in Illinois, such as the Sierra Club, are 100% opposed to the Route 53 extension. While we appreciate the work done by the parties involved to come up with a less environmentally impactful plan, the fact remains that the best environmental position is to not build the road. It is a north-south solution to an east-west problem, and we believe that claims that it will reduce traffic congestion once all the development that they predict is in place do not pass muster. Our concerns, however, are not purely environmental. We feel that the financial plan is fatally flawed, the funding gap too large, and the recommendation to use our local tax dollars, whether via the Lake County-only gasoline tax or capture of our non-residential property tax dollars to go to a semi-private authority who is not accountable to the public, completely unacceptable. To our knowledge, the tax capture has no sunset date, and the people of Lake County are not going to tolerate the same bait and switch that the tollway authority originally promised when promising that tolls on 294 would only be until the road was paid for. The tollway has always been funded by a user pay system via tolls, and we feel it's a dangerous precedent to establish to use tax dollars as well. Public tax dollars should not be managed by those not accountable to the public, and should not pay for a road that is not free for the public to use. The residents of Lake County should not have to pay twice to use this road. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Clipp. All righty, we will once again turn it over to you.
Okay, great, thank you. You know, a top priority for the Illinois Tollway is managing our roads and making sure that they are run efficiently but also safely. So we wanted to provide an overview of our incident response and incident management for, frankly, I don't know that any of our board members have necessarily seen a detailed presentation on it before, but particularly some of our new board members. You know, this is an area that I will say I think the Illinois Tollway, you know, stands apart from many others and is really looked to as a model in terms of our incident
response. We always look to improve, but I think the level of coordination that exists here, because of the coordination between, you know, our engineering and maintenance department and state police and other entities at the tollway, really sets us apart in terms of instant response. Without further ado, I'm going to introduce our acting general manager of maintenance and traffic, Scott Captain, who's going to walk through the presentation for us. And as always with these, please feel free, if you have questions, you know, to ask them. We like to make these as informal as possible so that everybody can learn a little bit more about what everybody, this great team, does on a day-to-day basis to make the tollway a world-class organization. So, Scott?
Good morning, everybody. Thanks, Christy. I was asked to give an overview to the group today about the tollway's role in incident management with traffic. Like Christy said, safety at this agency is first and foremost, and customer service is a very close second for us in maintenance and traffic. Our personnel are boots on the ground, people in the field every day. We're a 24/7 operation, and as long as traffic flows, there's going to be incidents out there from time to time. We're going to walk through some areas today that talk about our general overview and our philosophy on incident management, as well as some of our strategies and some of our successes as well. Ultimately, we want to provide safe and efficient travel for the motoring public. And unfortunately, from time to time, to use an interesting term, dynamic mishap, we do run into things on the road that impede the flow of traffic. And our personnel, our maintenance personnel, are trained first responders, a 24/7 operation, and ultimately they're out there responding to everything that happens that has to do with lane blockage or disabled motorists. And the ultimate goal is to relieve that congestion that's created when an incident happens on the road. A second high priority for us is the reduction of secondary crashes. Nationwide, secondary crashes make up about 20%, 18 to 20% of all of the crashes out there, and the fatality rate of secondary crashes accounts for about 18 to 20% of all fatalities. At the tollway, our secondary crash rate is down around 3 to 4%. And that's largely in part due to the response plan and the interactive capability that we have amongst all of the stakeholders who are involved in handling those responses. Ultimately, the safety of the roadway is our first concern. Our response times are actually some of the highest in the nation. 6-minute average for personal injury accidents, we're on the scene. Typically a 33-minute average clear time on those same accidents, and typically that's due to the involvement of the fire department in prepping a patient, stabilizing a patient before they can transport, before we can clear the roadway. We typically see a 10-minute average response time for most property damage accidents. Those are your typical fender benders, right on up to vehicles that require tows and relocation to other areas. And then ultimately, we have about a 19-minute clearance time for those crashes as well. Overall, if you count all of our crashes, we average about a 30 to 33-minute clearance time on all of our crashes, which is, I think, number one in the nation right now. The help truck, the Highway Emergency Lane Patrol trucks, which are currently sponsored by State Farm in an effort to help defer some of our costs and some of the impacts we have to our motors. We have a partnership now and a sponsorship program with State Farm. The picture you see up here is what our current help trucks look like. The help trucks run 5 days a week from 4 a.m. till 8 p.m. and they're constantly on patrol for disabled motorists, breakdowns, and oftentimes they are the first responder on the scene of a crash. Oftentimes they're the ones that find the crash before it's even called in to anybody. And ultimately, we helped over 33,000 customers in 2014. Like I said earlier, we are a very customer service-oriented agency. Because people are paying to ride the road, it's a user fee system. All of our focus on all of the things we do is customer service oriented, and incident management is just one of those items. We do a very comprehensive integrated approach. We have many stakeholders who are involved in the process on a field, boots on the ground level. We have our tollway maintenance folks who are 24/7 first responders. They are empowered to make decisions and leave their current job assignments to report to a crash. And they are the primary decision maker on the scene until the responders arrive. The primary goal for roadway maintenance is to secure the scene for all of the other responders, clear lanes of vehicles, and assist all the other responders as needed. In addition to that, we have 56 fire agreements with different fire departments throughout the road. We work very closely with District 15 State Police, who is the district that handles all of the tollway, and we work very closely with the toll operators. We provide training for all of those responders, and the three C's, which are communication, cooperation, and coordination, are the focus of that type of training. So when different disciplines arrive on the scene of a crash, there's a common goal and a common understanding of how that incident's going to be handled. Ultimately, we are now, in the last few years, focusing on ITS elements and integrating our system into an ITS element that gives us a better tool and a better ability to detect and verify what's going on the road. In 2004, the tollway was the first agency to fully integrate a computer-aided dispatch system and a traffic incident management system all into one. So now when events come in to CAD and dispatch downstairs, as soon as they create the event, that event exists in PIMS. There's no phone calls, no emails, there's no missteps. Everything's automatic. So while dispatch is performing their function, the traffic center is now looking for the crash or looking for the incident. They're verifying. They're doing media alerts. They're doing messaging out to the gateway, to the trucking association, to any other stakeholder outside the agency who might be impacted by what we have going on the road. An additional element, not necessarily a pure incident management function, but an additional element of the agency is the Traffic Operations Safety Committee. And that's basically stakeholders in this building, in this agency, who will all touch or be impacted by the performance of our system. We meet once a month. There's a subcommittee that meets before. We discuss speed data, crash data, road design, geometric issues, signing, striping, anything that might affect the performance of the safety of the roadway. We have Illinois State Police are involved, roadway maintenance is involved, so we have field personnel that come in as well, and it's those operational people that bring us input to discuss and to evaluate, and the committee has actually turned out many recommendations and many implementations that have made portions of our system perform much better with the hope of avoiding incidents in certain areas altogether. Functional technology and ITS. Coming up and in construction right now is the active traffic management corridor on I-90 between Barrington Road and Kennedy Expressway. The anticipation is that at the conclusion of next year's construction season, the ATM corridor will be online. The definition that's up here is rather important because it's important that everyone understand what the role of ITS is. And I'm only going to read the slide just for that purpose. ITS is a tool set that, when used in conjunction with a comprehensive operational strategy, can support a mission and a set of goals to provide improved safety, mobility, and efficiency of a transportation system. The tollway has had a very comprehensive incident management program for about 15 years now, and before that, we were doing these things even before we knew what to call it. As we've added ITS elements over the years and as we added the Traffic and Incident Management Center coming online, we've enhanced our ability to detect and verify, which speeds up and streamlines the ability of first responders to get to a scene. It puts the focus on where it needs to be, and it allows responders to operate in a little bit safer environment. The ATM corridor is going to provide us with a system that puts the traffic center technicians literally as first responders for the first time. As of right now, when the traffic center technicians find something on the road, they can certainly message for it on an overhead dynamic message sign or get the word out to dispatch or to roadway maintenance. So there is an impact to traffic that they have. In this system that's coming up, because of the density of camera coverage, the traffic center will be able to see the entire corridor immediately. They'll be able to verify and make decisions prompted by the software to start affecting traffic in the lanes that are open, the lanes that are closed. So really what that means is a traffic center technician, before anybody else gets on the scene, will have the ability to close a lane and start directing traffic around that scene. It'll make the response safer for the responders. It'll make it safer for the motoring public negotiating around the scene. and it will help us manage those scenes much better because we'll have the ability to provide better and immediate advanced warning for the safety of the responders and the safety of the public. Recently, May 31st, we had... Oh, let's start the video.
I have to do it.
May 31st, just a few weeks back, we had a tanker fire. This is eastbound I-90 at the takeoff to 190 west to O'Hare or 294 south. Tanker hauling 8,500 gallons of gasoline exited the ramp and made some type of maneuver that caused him to roll over, and he struck some construction barrier wall, split open the tanker, and erupted into flames. This happened at 1:16 a.m. We were on the scene, Roman Maintenance in District 15, within the first few minutes, and initially we shut down the entire main line for safety reasons. Rosemont Fire responded. Initially they couldn't do anything with the fire, but within 30 minutes we had one lane open on the main line, so main line traffic was free flowing past the incident. Within an hour, we had two lanes open. Within an hour and a half, we had all three mainline lanes open, and we just had the ramp closed, and within 3 hours, the entire scene was cleaned up and open to traffic. I've been with the agency almost 30 years, and I've been on a lot of heavy recovery crashes. This is the first tanker that we've ever had that's gone up in flames, and the coordination and the level of cooperation that happened between the State Police, Roadway Maintenance, and the Rosemont Fire Department was absolutely incredible. This example is definitely a very extreme example of what we see out there. It's typically not the norm at all, but it is a good example of even on a bad crash with a situation that is more or less beyond anybody's control for a certain period of time, that all the parties that come together have the same goal, as to get traffic open as quickly and safely as possible. During this this incident, we were fortunate. It was Sunday morning on Memorial Day weekend, 1 o'clock in the morning. Probably couldn't happen at a better time as far as that goes. We only had about a 1 or 2 mile backup, and we provided enough advance warning to motorists where we had no secondary incidents. So that was a good thing considering we were shut down for a while. Ultimately, the goal of our training in-house and to the responders outside this agency is to get the message so these types of incidents, no matter how minor they are, happen exactly in this fashion. And that's a testament to the dedication of the people that are working out there in the field. Next steps moving forward, we always intend to continue trying to provide the best customer service. The maintenance and traffic division, especially the roadway maintenance personnel, understand that the primary goal of this agency is still to move people from point A to point B as safely, efficiently, and quickly as possible. And incident management is probably the first and foremost item that we are keyed in on that helps us deliver that goal. We're going to continue to evaluate ourselves. We're going to continue to critique ourselves. As a matter of course, we have post-incident debriefings with all the players, and this fire in Rosemont was no different, to go through a kind of lessons learned process. So if things didn't go well, we learned some things moving forward, and if things did go well, we just fostered a better relationship with those entities that assist us. Video sharing is something we're starting to talk about now. There's a possibility, and the technology does exist, for video sharing with some of the emergency responders, either providing our video in their dispatch centers or our video in their responding vehicles, such as a lieutenant or a battalion chief's vehicle en route to the scene. Even though we can see things on camera, our responders cannot, and they rely on the chain of the dispatch system to get good information. And unfortunately, the public doesn't always give good information, or information is sketchy at best until the first responder gets on the scene, and we're looking at video sharing as a possible way to compress the timeline from detection to having that good information so everyone can respond effectively. And then, of course, we're looking to implement the ATM on I-90. Training has already begun in-house. We're already training our traffic center techs in the field with our help truck drivers so they can get practical experience as being first responders, and so they understand what they're seeing when they're looking at the cameras. One of the unfortunate realities of being in the traffic center, if you've never been out in the field, what you see on the camera is not always what you see on the camera. It depends on angle, it depends on spacing, and it's going to help them make very good decisions if we can get them some practical experience in the field. We're designing the software training right now, and we're planning on the traffic center going to 24/7, up from 24/5 right now, hopefully before the end of the year or early next year, in preparation for the ATM coming online. There is going to be a very high learning curve, though, for this corridor, not only with our traffic center techs, but with all of our responders. Incident management training has been and is going to continue to be scheduled for all the responders in the I-90 corridor. We've involved the fire departments and all of the stakeholders in the concept of operations plans that have been developed for that corridor. So we are well on our way to being prepared operationally for that time point when that corridor is delivered. And with that, I can take some questions.
Any questions?
Yes. You mentioned that they actually close lanes before responders get there. Are you just talking the visual overhead, saying move over lane? Is that
yes, I didn't get into gory detail about the ATM corridor. We're essentially going to have gantries every half mile, and there'll be lane assignment, message panels above each lane, and we'll be able to literally open and close lanes at will. And the concept of operations plans, we've developed a few dozen routine type of response concepts where the software will prompt the operator. But if the crash is at Roselle Road eastbound, gantry 1/2 mile before that will have the lane closed. The gantry 1 mile before that will start moving traffic over. So our ability to basically talk to traffic 1/2 mile back, 1 mile back, 1.5 miles back is going to be there throughout the entire corridor. Right now we're limited on where's the last dynamic message sign, or where, you know, how quickly can we get a shadow truck in place to provide a message for the queue that's backing up as a result of the crash. This will give us instantaneous ability to communicate with the public and give them clear direction on what we want them to do before they get to the scene.
Has this been done in other areas?
It has been. It has not been done on the scale that we're looking to do it on. It's being done in Minnesota right now. They have an active traffic management system that they don't use full-time, but they use it in a very small area. We're looking at a 16-mile stretch of our corridor on one of our busiest segments. Seattle, I believe, has a version of their active traffic management system, but nobody is tying it in and fully integrating it into dispatch and CAD and the field service responders like we are.
And they found that people do follow the signs, just help keep traffic flowing and that in advance like that, you're saying?
They do, but we know there's going to be a huge learning curve with the motoring public when we introduce this. So there's going to be a lot of public outreach and some education that's going to have to go on before we go live with the system.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
So, Joe. Is this going to be implemented to protect our state troopers when they make stops?
Yes. In the ATM corridor, we're going to have a lane zero, which is going to be a bus-only lane, but we will control that lane zero. So we will control when the buses ride and when they don't ride on it, and we have signing that will account for that. The whole system is designed to protect any responder, any trooper who might be out there. So if a trooper is making a traffic stop on the right-hand shoulder, where typically there would be no lane blockage and no real advance warning for the public, we'll have the ability to change a green down arrow on the right lane to a yellow green arrow or a yellow arrow in the right lane as a cautionary measure to alert them that something is coming up ahead. Every other gantry, so every 1 mile, we're going to have a dynamic message sign mounted on the side of the gantry. We'll also have the ability to message along the entire corridor in both directions to advise traffic that something's coming up, and protecting troopers and protecting the help truck drivers and any other maintenance folks that are out there, or even just some of our consultants who might be out surveying. We have the ability to protect all of them with this system.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Is ATM a real-time, or do we record anything and store it, or is it all just real-time as it is?
Everything's real-time.
Footage.
We do have the ability to capture video after the fact. I believe we have a limit of 72 hours.
Okay.
Where within 72 hours, we can go back and capture anything that's gone on. Beyond that, we don't capture it beyond that.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I did have one question. Thank you. Scott, just one quick. I'm just curious, with your emphasis on the importance of providing good customer service, is there a training program? Is there some type of onboarding program for you? How does your staff, how are they made aware that that's a priority, and then how do you kind of measure that?
That's an interesting question. Formally, I don't believe we have anything in the training program that emphasizes that level of customer service. It's just part of the culture of this agency. I started here in 1985, and that culture was here. When it comes to snow and ice, when it comes to incident management, when it comes to things that directly impact the motorist, there is an attitude out there, and even with brand new employees who have only been here a few months, where we are not going to let snow and ice impact the travel. We are not going to let it impact the travel any more than is reasonably necessary. And it's really part of the culture. It's part of the training, anecdotally, if you will. It's part of the training as a normal course of doing business every day, but it's not a formal structure practice.
Okay. Thank you.
How many trucks do you have?
11 help trucks right now. So all 11 maintenance sections all have their own help truck, and each help truck runs a roughly 26 to 30 center lane mile area.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
What are we going to do to inform the public as far as our media department? Are we going to be able to get public service with the television stations and the newspapers and so on and so forth to educate the public that this is in fact coming? Or people be driving down the highway, and all of a sudden they're going to be faced with this. They don't know what it is.
My understanding that we are going to be putting together some kind of public outreach program. I'm not sure exactly what the specifics of that outreach is going to be. That's always been part of the concept of creating this and making it as usable for the motorist as possible on day one. So that outreach is going to be instrumental in achieving that goal.
So communications is part of that traffic management group that we talked about, that large group that meets on a monthly basis. And certainly this will be toward the end of 2016 that motorists will actually see this implemented on the roadway. So we'll be developing a communications plan, but we do have time slots for advertising on television, for instance, that we basically trade with local media for access to our camera system for their traffic reports and other things. So that will be one, but not the only way that we can help educate people about what's going on, and maybe there'll be a need for more advertising or other types of outreach, because we do, we think that to some extent it will be self-explanatory, but there will be a learning curve for people, but we think it's going to be a real benefit. And safety obviously was the focus of this presentation and is the most important thing, but it also will help us with capacity. We think that it will leverage more capacity out of the widening of the building that we're doing on I-90, meaning better traffic flow through that corridor and less congestion, which everybody likes. Typically, less congestion is usually pretty popular. So.
And hopefully the information will be put out in bilingual format.
It's a good point. I know you've mentioned that before, and I think I would just ask our communications team to keep it in mind, because it's increasingly important, right, in the region, and I think we probably need to be thinking in a bilingual, about a bilingual, multilingual education.
That's a good point. We discussed that early on when we were developing the concept of operations, and the symbols we're going to be using, very simple and very straightforward. Green arrows, yellow arrows, red X's, that's going to be your primary visual when you're out there. We will have the ability to message with dynamic message signs. There'll be a specific icon for the bus only lane, which I believe will be a diamond. Let's say bus. Any wording we use will be very basic. One word or two words at the most over those lanes. We'll have the ability to do variable speed limits, and the image that you'll see will essentially look like a real speed limit sign. So what we're introducing to the public are concepts that any